Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Mountain Baptist Church. Take your song books and turn to Song 421. Song 421 in your song books. We'll sing the first Noel. And if you would stand, we'll sing Song 421.
The first Noel the angel did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay. In fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 Noel. Born is the King of Israel, and by the line of that same star, three wise men came from country far. To seek for a king was their intent, and the star wherever it went. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. This star drew nigh to the northwest, o'er Bethlehem it took its rest, and there it did both stop and stay, o'er the place where Jesus lay. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Then entered in men three full reverently upon their knee, and offer there in his presence gold and myrrh and frankincense. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just want to thank you, God, and praise you for just all of the souls that we're seeing saved here at Mountain Baptist Church. Thank you, God, for the great preaching from your word. I pray, Lord, now again that you would meet with us. Fill our pastor with your power and spirit, for it's in Jesus' name we ask all of it. Amen. All right, you may be seated and turn in your song books to Song 183. Did I skip verse 3? No? Oh, okay. I was like, singing verse 4, I was like, I think I skipped. Anyway, doesn't matter. Song 183 in your songbooks. We'll sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Song number 183.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, yield sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
Amen. Welcome back to Mountain Baptist Church on this Sunday evening. And just some announcements here. Let's get the soul winning numbers for the week. So, did we have any earlier in the week? One on Monday? Is there any else throughout the week? Can't remember if Brother Richie had any or anything like that. Today, I know our, we had one, and then Brother Matt, you guys had two, so that's three. Is there any others during today? So that's four. Any others today?
We have one.
You and who?
Jacob.
Okay. So that's five. Any others? So, and then we had one earlier in the week, so that'd be six for the week. Good job with the soul winning. And then as far as the service times, everything should be normal. Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., we're continuing our study through the book of Exodus. We're almost done. We have a couple more chapters. And so we'll be finishing up the book of Exodus. And not sure. I know we're going to the New Testament. I'll tell you that much. But I haven't decided exactly which book we're doing. I kind of want to do the Gospel of Luke, but I haven't decided completely on that yet. I really enjoyed going through the book of Exodus. There's a lot of stuff that kind of forced me to read and understand and, like, really get into the nitty-gritty stuff on that. So. And then on the soul winning, the regional times there, again, with this daylight savings time or lack thereof or just dark in the evening, these regional times may be a little more up in the air. I know Saturday's a lot easier because, you know, at 11 a.m. it should be light. So Saturday might be the go-to time in some of these cases if it's, like, hard on the weekdays to just do it on a Saturday if you can. Just be on the WhatsApp, though, when it comes to that. And then upcoming events, we have the men's prayer meeting on the 25th. That's Black Friday. And then the Soul Winning Marathon in McKeesport, Pittsburgh area, that Saturday, the 26th of November. Then we have the women's prayer meeting on the 3rd. And tentatively, we have December 10th will be like a Christmas fellowship. So we're going to plan on that. I think Brother Richie's planning to do a soul winning marathon in Maryland the next Saturday. So that's 17th. But I figured the 10th would be a good time to where it's kind of a little further away from actual Christmas time because others may have like family and stuff they want to, be with at that time. So this way it make it a lot easier for everybody to be here as much as possible for that. And so I haven't decided. If I have a request, we have ham and mashed potatoes at this event, because we're in the New Testament, and I want ham. Bacon and pork and all that stuff's welcome as well. Pretty much anything that comes from a pig, besides, like, I don't want, like, pig's feet, okay? None of that pickled stuff. But no. Yeah, just put that on your calendars. That would be December 10th. We're going to be... we're going to be having a fellowship there. We have the chapter memory for the month, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then Proverbs 3:5 is our memory verse for the week. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And then we didn't have any birthdays this week. Pregnancy list there. Be in prayer for my wife with pregnancy there. Pray everything goes well. Offering boxes in the back there if you want to give a tithe to offering. Mother baby rooms for the mothers and babies only. And we're going to get started. Brother Dave's going to sing one more song. After that, Brother Joseph's going to be reading John chapter 8. And then right after the service, men that want to try to do this like men choir type thing, we're going to just give it a practice run on the song. And if you want to join in on that, just come up forward. And we'll just do that real quick. So, can't find my button.
All right, take your songbooks and turn to Song 350. Song 350 in your songbooks. We'll sing "Revive Thy Work." Song 350. Revive thy work, O Lord, thy mighty arm make bare. Speak with the voice that wakes the dead and make thy people hear. Revive, revive, and give refreshing shower. The glory shall be all thine own, the blessing shall be ours. Revive thy work, O Lord, disturb the sleep of death. Quicken the smoldering embers now by thy almighty breath. Revive, revive, and give refreshing showers. The glory shall be all thine own, the blessing shall be ours. Revive thy work, O Lord, create soul thirst for thee, but hungering for the bread of life, O may our spirits be. Revive, revive, and give refreshing showers. The glory shall be all thine own, the blessing shall be ours. Revive thy work, O Lord, exalt thy precious name, and by the Holy Ghost our love for thee and thine inflame. Revive, revive, and give refreshing showers. The glory shall be all thine own, the blessing shall be ours.
All right, take your Bibles and turn to John 8. John 8 in your Bibles. We'll have Brother Joseph read that for us.
John chapter 8, and if you found your place there, you'll say amen. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees, therefore, said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour is not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are from of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest you, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews, and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead in the prophets. And thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and of the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar, like unto you, but I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Let's pray. Lord, Father, thank you for this time we're able to gather again this afternoon. And Lord, I thank you for your pure and holy word you've given to us. Lord, I ask you to be with the study this evening. Be with Pastor Robinson. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So you're there in John chapter 8, and we're continuing kind of a study, if you will, through our statement of faith. And so we've already hit on the King James Bible and the fact that we're King James Bible only, that we believe that salvation is by grace through faith, not by works, and then also the fact that we believe in eternal security and how that's linked in tandem with the fact that salvation is by grace through faith alone. The next point on our statement of faith is the fact that Jesus is God. And I'm just going to read to you what we have on our statement of faith here. We believe that Jesus is God, and that Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Ghost and was born in the flesh by the Virgin Mary. Okay, so I'm going to be hitting kind of two things with that, but as far as Jesus, the deity of Jesus, but also the fact that he was born of the Virgin Mary, which really ties into the deity of Jesus. So, I mean, the big reason why it's important to understand that Jesus didn't have a physical father is the fact that he's God. Okay, so the fact that he's God in the flesh. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And I'm just going to be showing you a bunch of verses that basically show that Jesus is God. Okay, and the next sermon we'll be getting into the Trinity. Okay, so this one's really just all about the fact that Jesus is God, and then we're going to be getting into the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and how Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. First, let's just hit on the fact that he is God, and that's a huge thing that we need to understand. The Bible says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, without faith it is impossible to please him. And then it goes on to say that you have to believe that he's God. Okay, if you're going to come to God, and you're going to come to him for salvation, you have to believe who he is. And so this is essential for salvation, meaning someone has to understand that Jesus is God. They have to understand who Jesus is, okay, essentially. They don't need to know all the ins and outs. They don't need to perfectly just comprehend the Trinity, because I don't think any of us can holistically comprehend the Trinity, because it's obviously unique. God is unique. But we can take it by faith, obviously, that God is three persons, one God. But we do need to realize that Jesus is God. He's not a created being. He created all of us, okay? And 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 is a great passage to show that Jesus is God. And verse 16 here, it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory." So just so you know that we're talking about the Son, he's the one that was received up in the glory. You know, that Jesus ascended up far above the heavens. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's God manifest in the flesh. And manifest just means revealed in the flesh. So basically he took on flesh and blood, but it's God. You know, that's who it was. When he was standing there in the flesh, we're dealing with God in the flesh, okay? Now, if you have a false version, you know, one of these NIVs, ESVs, and all these others, they come from a corrupt text, and it doesn't say God was manifest in the flesh. It says he was manifest in the flesh. And so just to show you kind of a difference between the King James and other versions, and that is a textual variant, meaning that that's from their corrupt Greek text that they're getting that from, okay? And so they're missing a crucial verse there that proved the deity of Jesus, okay? Go to John chapter 1. So in our statement of faith, there's three passages that are mentioned. John 1:1, Hebrews 8:1, and John 8:58, as far as just some proof text. Now, I'm going to be hitting on other ones, but if you were to just look at, okay, I need to really just quickly show somebody that Jesus is God, okay? You know, you want to go to the heavy hitters. You want to go to the one that's going to be very clear on this, John 1:1. And so go to John 1, verse 1 there, which ties in perfectly with 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That just really clearly shows you, you know, that Jesus is God. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." So you see this Word that's with God and was in the beginning with God, but also was God. Okay? "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, the Bible says. So the Word of God created everything, but the Word of God is God. Now let's look at verse 14 down there. So John 1, verse 14. So this is how I usually explain that Jesus is God. I go to John 1:1 and show that the Word was with God, but the Word was God. But also in John 1, verse 15, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And just so you know, who's this Word that was made flesh? "And we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We're talking about the only begotten Son of God. We're talking about Jesus, okay? And that Word was made flesh. That Word was God. That Word is God, okay? And we'll get into the Trinity, but there are three to bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Jesus is the Word of God, and that's another sermon for another day, okay? So when it comes to this, it explicitly states that the Word is God. Again, you go to the New World Translation, the old Jehovah's Witnesses, because they don't believe that Jesus is God. This right here will say that the Word was a God, not the Word was God. Okay, and so obviously the New World Translation is a joke. Only Jehovah's Witnesses would even hold that to be a Bible. Everybody else knows that that's a joke. It's not a Bible version. Even those that hold to the NIV and ESV would say that the New World Translation is complete garbage, okay? But that being said, the King James Bible obviously has it right every single time when it comes to these passages. Go to John chapter 8 and verse 56. John chapter 8 and verse 56. So 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, great passage to show God was manifest in the flesh. And that is a great place to go to if you just want to show that Jesus is God. John 1:1, the Word was God. The Word was with God and was God, and the Word was made flesh. and dwelt among us. He's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's God, right? If the Word's God, and then the Word was made flesh, then God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and, you know, going on and on, okay? John 8:56, this is one of my favorite passages. Of course, there's so much in John chapter 8, but this passage right here is just one of these times where Jesus just throws down at the end on these guys, and I love it. Okay, so in verse 56 here, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? So they're like, how in the world can Abraham rejoice to see your day? You know, and you can say, well, this is talking about, you know, they're thinking like back in Abraham's day, he rejoiced to see Jesus' day. He's like, you're not even 50 years old. How in the world can that be? Because Abraham's dead. And in verse 58 here, it says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Okay, this is just, I love this, just how he just explicitly tells them, hey, I was before Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am. And if you think about it, when that was stated in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am, and he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So you could look at this as far as saying, like, he's just stating that's who I am. I am. Tell him I am has sent me, right? And you could look at it as just a name, right? Or you could just look at it the fact that, listen, before Abraham was, I was, you know, like I am. Like I wasn't, and I love that it's I am, because it's not like it just was and not anymore. He still is, okay? And he's just putting it right in their face that I was before Abraham. I was before him, and before Abraham was, I am. Because he is the I am that I am. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, from the burning bush. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he'd be like, oh, how could Abraham rejoice to see your day? Before Abraham was, I am. And it just really, in verse 59 there, it says, then took they up stones to cast at him, and Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And so they cast up stones. Why? Because he's proclaiming that he's God. That's why. Because they don't believe, you know, they don't believe he's God, and they're saying, they think he's blaspheming and all this stuff. But he's straight up just saying, I'm God. I am that I am, you know. Before Abraham was, I am. Go to John 8:23. So go back up a little bit in the chapter there, and you'll see the same kind of thing that's being said before he even gets to this point. And this is the believing that I am he. Okay? And when you're reading this, you're like, who's he saying? You know, because he's saying you need to believe that I am he. Well, who's the he? Right? But what you have to understand is that phrase, I am he, is used actually a lot in the book of Isaiah. Okay, and I want to just kind of show you this as well. So in the same chapter, it ends with, before Abraham was, I am. But it was already kind of leading up to that. Okay, it was leading up to the fact that he's the I am. Now in verse 23 there, it says, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Get the point? He's trying to get across here. You're of this world, I'm not of this world. It says in verse 24, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Remember, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You have to believe that he is who he is. And he says, if you don't believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sins. Go to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 4. Isaiah 41. Because a lot of times in the Bible, it'll pull you back somewhere. And when he says, before Abraham was, I am, where are you going to go? Probably the burning bush where he says, tell him that I am has sent thee, right? I am that I am. I'm the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And I am. But then he says here, you need to believe that I am he. And if you don't, you're going to die in your sins. Okay? Isaiah 41, verse 4 here, it says, who hath wrought and done it? Calling the generations from the beginning, I the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. Go to Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Isaiah 43 and verse 10 says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." So we get the picture here. You need to believe and understand that I am he, meaning what? God. Because it says in verse 11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? So when you're dealing with the fact that he's saying, you need to believe that I am he, or you're going to die in your sins, what's he stating? I am God. And if you don't believe that, you're going to die in your sins. And the whole chapter ends on the fact that before Abraham was, I am. And it even states here that, yea, before the day was, I am he. So it's kind of like in the New Testament, he's like, before Abraham was, I am. Here he's saying, before the day was. Right, before the creation, before he made anything, he is the I am. And he is the I am, you know, I am he. You must believe that. And it's not I am she, by the way. God is a he. So let's just throw that out there in this weird world that we live in. And God is not neutral either. He's not some, like, in between a male and female. It's he, him. His preferred pronouns are he and him, okay? It's not preferred, by the way. It's just facts. Now, in Isaiah 48, just to show you another one here, and kind of what I want to pin down to when we're saying I am he, and you have to believe that I am he, something that's being linked to the I am he is, one, God, okay? I am God. But then we saw from the very first one in Isaiah 41, it was I am the first and I am with the last. Anna and Clara don't talk anymore. It says, "Hearken unto me," in verse 12, "O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am he. I am the first, I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I called unto them, they stand up together." So, when we're talking about the fact that I am he, he's saying I am the first, I am also the last. I am he, I am the first, and with the last. Sound familiar? God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's, you know, I am the first, and I'm with the last, because we're dealing with the Trinity, obviously. But go to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. So the first and the last is God, right? It's the I am he. Well, look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. And so you can look at, okay, the I am he, and you can kind of go back and see, okay, that's talking about him being God. When he says, you need to believe that I am he, okay, what are we talking about? He's God, okay? But then in that same passage, you kind of see this stuff about the first and the last, and that the first and the last is God, and the first and the last is the I am he. Then you go into Revelation, and it says in verse 8, it says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." So we're talking about the Almighty God here, right? Notice in Revelation 22 and verse 13, so go all the way at the end of Revelation there, Revelation 22 and verse 13, what I want to show you is that the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, is also linked with the first and the last. Okay, I wanted to make that very clear, that when it's saying this, it's not saying like the Alpha and Omega and the beginning and the ending is the Almighty, but not the first and the last. Okay, that's different. No, in Revelation 22 and verse 13, it says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Okay. And by the way, it's just saying, it's like the same way of saying the same thing, right? Alpha and Omega is the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. The beginning and the ending is obviously the beginning and the end. And then when you're dealing with the first and the last, is the beginning and the end. It's just three different ways to say the same exact thing, okay? And from A to Z, you could say it that way, that God is from A to Z. I mean, go to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17, notice what it says here. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." Okay? Now at this point, we've realized the first and the last is Almighty God, right? We're dealing with, this is God. This is the I am he. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And even in chapter 2 and verse 8, just in case you don't get it there, chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. We're talking about Jesus. We're not talking about the Father. God the Father didn't die on the cross for us. Jesus did. The Son of God. Okay? The Son of God is the one that's the first and the last. And obviously, God the Father is the first and the last. And the Holy Ghost is the first and the last. That's for another sermon for another day. But it does also show that, hey, Jesus is God. He is the first and the last. He is the Almighty. Now, go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I've used this verse out soul winning before to show the deity of Jesus. John chapter 17 and verse 5. John 17 is where Jesus is praying to the Father. And verse 5 here. So John 17 and verse 5, it says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, logic has to dictate here. How in the world can he glorify him with the glory that he had before the world was if he wasn't there, right? If he didn't exist. That means Jesus was before the world was. Jehovah Witness, who thinks that Jesus was his first creation. No, before everything. Notice in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. So when before Abraham was, I am. Well, then you go back there and it says, before the day was, I am. Right? And then here is saying that, you know, I had the glory before the world was. And then in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, or all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So not only is he before all things, but he created everything, and by him everything consists. We're talking about Jesus, the Son, you know, being translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. And then it goes on to state that he is before all things, by him all things consist. So not only was Jesus before all things, he created everything. Everything was created by him and for him. Why? Because he's the Word of God. He's from the beginning. He was the Word of God. And how did God create everything? By his Word. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, you know, let the, you know, basically the firmament and basically the dry land to appear, and basically the dividing of the waters, and they called them seas. And then God said, you know, basically the whole thing is God said. It's by his Word that everything was created. And that Word is Jesus. From the very beginning, we saw the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, you know, at the very beginning. But Jesus is God. He is before all things. By him, all things consist. Go to John chapter 5, verse 18. Now, here's the thing, though. Those that killed Jesus knew that he was claiming to be God. Okay? And he was like, how do you know that? Because they said that he was claiming to be God. Okay, they understood. Listen, I'm going to be getting into the Trinity and all the verses that prove the Trinity. But really, if you just prove that Jesus is the Son of God, you've proved that he's God. And people, you know, they look at the Son of God and they're like, well, that he's the Son of God. He's God's Son, but is he God? No, being the Son of God means he is God. And those back then knew what that meant. They don't have some weird, twisted view of who the Son of God is these days. Back then, even all those that hated him knew that when he said that he was God's Son, he was saying he was God. Okay? Because Jesus, in chapter 8, for example, of John, he says that, I am not of this world. I came forth from God. What do you think he was saying? They knew what he was saying. They knew that he was saying, I'm God. I didn't come from this world. I came into this world. I was sent into this world, but that he is God. Okay, now, in John 5:18, notice what it says. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. See, they understood what that meant when he was saying that I'm the Son of God. They knew that he wasn't saying I'm a child of God like we would say, you know, like we're adopted into the family, we're born again. No, they understood that when he said that God was his Father, he's making himself equal with God. Like, God is literally his Father. Does that make sense? Like, he doesn't have a physical father. God is his Father. That's what he's stating. They understood that, and they're wanting to kill him because he's making himself equal with God. Go to Philippians chapter 2. And by the way, he is equal with God. I mean, this is a big reason why they killed Jesus, is because of who he claimed to be. And obviously, he was who he claimed to be, but they killed him, one, because they were envious, but also of who he claimed to be. Now, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says this. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, that's kind of a negative way of saying the positive, meaning this is that if you don't, if he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, that means that it was right to be equal with God. Meaning that he was in the form of God because he is God. And it wasn't robbery to be equal with God because he is God. And the thing is that he's in the form of God because he was made like unto one of us, but yet he was still God. Okay? And he was equal with God. They wanted to kill him because he was making himself equal with God. In verse 7, it says, but made himself of no reputation. So basically, he is God. And he's like, it's not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So God basically took upon him flesh and blood and became one of us to die on the cross. But that's God who did that. Okay? Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. Who laid down his life for us? God. If Jesus isn't God, then some man laid down his life for you, and that's not going to cut it. But Jesus is 100% man, 100% God. In verse 9 there, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that is not just some Lord like, you know, like, oh, he's our captain or something like that. No, we're talking about Lord, like Lord God. They're going to confess that he is the Lord. That, you know, the first Adam was of the earth, earthy, the Bible says. The second Adam is the Lord from heaven. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's so many verses to go to prove the deity of Jesus. But these are just kind of some of the bigger ones, if you will. Go to John 10, verse 27. John 10, verse 27. And John 10, verse 27 . It's always funny to me that in the Bible, the Pharisees, you know, these people, the Jews that killed Jesus, have more clarity about what Jesus said and what the Bible is stating than people today. You know, it's like in Matthew chapter 21, when you have that parable about the vineyard and how, like, you know, basically the husbandman, you know, basically sent in his servants to go get fruit of the vineyard. And they killed one, they stoned the others, or whatever. And then he sent his only son in, and they killed him, right? And then at the end of the parable, he says, you know, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And it says that they perceived that he had spoken against them. And it's like today, Baptists are like, oh, no, it can't be them, you know, that it's God's chosen people, you know. He didn't come to be the Messiah, you know, John Hagee and all the Zionists. And it's like the Pharisees understood what he was saying. They knew, like, he's speaking against us. But then you look at a passage like this, and it's like someone could read this and not see that Jesus is saying he's God. Notice what it says here in John chapter 10, verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. By the way, in this passage it says, I am the good shepherd. You remember our psalm that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Like just going back to the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. Anyway, and again, you can go to all these different ways to prove that Jesus is God by who he claimed to be, who he said he was. But it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Okay? So, and one place is basically stating that you're saying that God is your Father, that's making yourself God. They understood that, right? Now, when he says he's the Son of God, it's like, you're saying you're God then. And in here, he's saying, not only is he God's son, but he's saying, I and my Father are one. Okay? Not that they're the same person, modalist. We'll get on that next week. It's the fact that he's stating that they're God. He's making himself equal with God. Equal with who? God the Father. Okay? Because they're co-equally God. Okay? Notice what it says here. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. Which of those works do you stone me? Notice their answer. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They understood that when he said, I and my Father are one, he's like, I'm God. So, like I said, it's interesting, like you would show this to a Muslim, and it's like, the Pharisees have more insight and understanding than you do. You show this to a Jehovah's Witness. The Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees have more insight and understanding than you do. You show this to a Mormon. The Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, the vipers, those blind guides and hypocrites have more insight about who Jesus was than you do. Because it clearly states that they knew what he meant by that. So go to Hebrews chapter 1. So honestly, John 1:1 is my go-to, and Hebrews chapter 1 is my go-to. Okay. Now John 8, that's a good one to go to, before Abraham was, I am. John 17, before the world was, you know, the glory that I had with thee before the world was, showing you that Jesus was way before, I mean, he was there and existed way before the virgin birth and before Bethlehem's manger, right? Hebrews 1. This is a heavy hitter here, okay? I've won Muslims to the Lord with this passage right here, okay? Because how do you get around it besides just saying that the Bible has to be, I mean, you'd have to just say, well, that's corrupted, you know, that can't be the, you know, you just have to deny the Bible, okay? I'm going to show you where God the Father calls Jesus God, calls the Son God, okay? So when God calls Jesus God, you should probably listen to that, okay? Now, obviously, when Jesus is saying that he's God and saying that I and my Father are one and God is his Father and I came forth from God and I'm not of this world, you should believe that too. But if God the Father is stating that Jesus is God, you better perk up. You better listen. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So, when it says God, who are we talking about? God the Father, right? Because it's saying his Son, okay? Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So, God the Father hath appointed him heir of all things, and by him he made the world. So by him, God the Father made all the world by Jesus, okay? Jesus is obviously the instrument in which he used the Word of God. The Son of God is how he created everything. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory... Now, we're talking about Jesus being the brightness of God the Father's glory, right? In the express image of his person. So Jesus is the express image of God the Father's person. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And being made so much better than the angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? So when it's saying, said he at any time, thou art my son. So who's the he saying it? God the Father, right? God the Father would be saying, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So obviously, God the Father is talking about this. Like, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son, right? And then it goes on to say in verse 6 there, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. So God the Father is saying, let all the angels of God worship him, God the Son, right? And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame and fire, but unto the Son he saith. Now, at this point, who do you think is talking? God the Father is talking. It wouldn't make any sense if the Son saying it to himself. It's the fact that, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. There you have it. I mean, God the Father is saying that Jesus is God. But then it goes on to say, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God. So notice how it's going back and forth, right? God the Father is saying unto the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. But then he's saying to him that thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, right? That's why when you see Jesus saying, I ascend up to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Why? Because he can say that. Even God the Father says to the Son, O God, you know, like calling him God. And that's another sermon for another day to really get into the Trinity. But keep reading there, because it doesn't just stop there in verse 8 there where it says, but unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And I show this to Jehovah's Witnesses, and I'm just nothing. The only thing they can say to that is that it must be corrupted or something like that. But what are you going to say to that? And then it goes on to say in verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. So who are we talking about? The Lord Jesus, right? In the beginning, you know, like, thou, Lord, in the beginning. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall all wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. So this passage right here is just a heavy hitter to show you that, hey, we're dealing with God. When we're talking about the Son, the whole preface of Hebrews is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he is God. So that is a heavy hitter. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hebrews 1:8, unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. By the way, look that up in the Old Testament and tell me that that's not talking about God, right? When you look in the Old Testament, it doesn't say unto the Son, he said. It just says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. No one's going to read that and be like, we're not talking about God, right? We're just talking about some created being that's not God. Everybody that would read that would say, that's God. New Testament clarifies and says, he's talking about the Son of God. Okay. He's talking to the Son when he says that. Okay. Now, go to Matthew chapter 1. And in that statement of faith, the last thing I want to hit on here, and then we'll be done, is that we believe that Jesus is God, but we also believe in the virgin birth. Okay? And it's very crucial for Jesus being God. Okay? Through Adam, all have sinned. Okay? We get our sin by nature through our fathers. By definition, through Adam, through the man, sin comes, okay? And obviously every woman that's in here, every girl, has a father, okay? So that's why every woman in here would have sin. But when a child is born, or when a child is conceived, if you will, where the sin comes into play physically comes from the father, okay? Jesus didn't have a physical father, though. That's why he's flesh and blood, but without sin. Okay? So it's very crucial that we believe that Mary was a virgin and that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, meaning he had no physical father. Okay? And notice what it states here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And obviously we're getting into the Christmas season, so this is pertinent. But in verse 18 here it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. Okay, so if you don't understand what the word virgin means, the Bible's spelling it out for you. They haven't come together. Okay, they haven't consummated the marriage. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So the Bible just spells it out that she has a child, but it's of the Holy Ghost. It's not because of some man. She hasn't seen, they haven't come together or anything like that. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put away privily. So basically, he's thinking, like, she must have cheated on me, or whatever, because, wouldn't you? Honestly, you look at Joseph, you're like, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, because this is a once in a whole time experience here. It says, verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So when we say that we believe that Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Ghost, the Virgin Mary was conceived the Lord Jesus by the Holy Ghost, that's Bible, okay? And you may say, I don't really understand it. Doesn't matter. The Bible says it, we believe it, okay? And it says that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So you want to know what the name Jesus means? He's going to save his people from their sins, okay? That's what it means. And verse 22, it says, now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So if you didn't get all this other stuff about God manifest in the flesh, that the Word was God and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, right? How about this? His name was going to be called Emmanuel, which is literally means God with us. Okay? So keep reading there in I was going to have to stop there. Go to Luke chapter 1. See another place that mentions Mary basically being a virgin and conceiving through the Holy Ghost and everything. Luke 1 and verse 30, it says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Okay? Because people are like, well, virgin kind of means young maid. It means a young woman. It says she knew not a man. It says they had not come together. And by the way, virgin means what it means. And when people say that, and they're just like, oh, this means like a young woman. It doesn't mean a virgin. They're selling you a bill of goods. Like, that word always means virgin. Whether it's in Greek or whether it's in English, that's what we're talking about. But I love that the Bible is just so, redundant with it. It's like, it's a virgin. By the way, she knew not a man. She's a virgin. By the way, they haven't come together. Oh, by the way, in Matthew chapter 1, it says that he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. So it's like, they didn't come together. He didn't know her until she brought forth the firstborn son. She said, I know not a man. How in the world can this be, right? How can you get around the fact that she was a virgin? And really what it comes to is that they don't want to believe it. Why? Because what it means. If she's a virgin and she's giving birth to Jesus, that means we're talking about God in the flesh here. We're talking about God with us. We're talking about the Son of God coming down from his throne to be our Savior. Now, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35 there, it says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. By the way, Mary, did you know? Yes. She knew. Did you know that he was going to be called the Son of God? Yeah. Yeah. Gabriel told her that. Yeah. So, we're not going to sing Mary, Did You Know in this church, just so you know. I don't like that song. We're never going to sing that song. and put that in your pipe and smoke it, I guess. But I have nothing against Mary, okay? But you know what? Every time Mary's brought into like a song or brought into the picture, they always mess it up. Like even people that claim to be Christians are like, we're going to do a song about Mary that's going to be wholesome and good. And then it's like, Mary, did you know, like all these things? And it's like, yeah. Now, some of those things she didn't know that he's going to walk on water. But let me ask you a question. Do you really know that she didn't know that? They're like, well, that's why we're asking the question. So, anyway, if you like that song, that's fine. You can come to church. We won't have a church split over it. I do not like that song. So if you ask me what I think about it, you already know the answer. Now, the last thing I want to show you here, because obviously the New Testament is very clear on this, right? But I just want to show you kind of a compilation. First, go to Isaiah chapter 7. We're just going to go from Isaiah 7, Isaiah 8, Isaiah 9. We'll be done, okay? Because we're going to get to a very famous passage in Isaiah 9. But I want you to see how it leads up to it. Now, in the New Testament, it's very clear that a virgin is going to be with child. They're going to call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us, okay? So let's look at Isaiah 7:14 because that's where this is the prophecy came from, right? It says in Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So here is stating the same thing that's stated in there. The New Testament says, which being interpreted is God with us. Well, go to chapter 8 because actually, did you know that the Old Testament actually defines what Emmanuel means? Okay. Now, a lot of times in the Bible, words just have meanings. I mean, you could look at words and just understand what they mean, like Salem. In the New Testament, it'll say that Melchizedek is the king of Salem, which is being interpreted king of peace. Oh, okay, Salem means peace, you know? And you can figure out these things, like Beth means house, El means God, right? Bethel, the house of God. And you can figure out how what terms mean just by kind of understanding in the Bible how those words work. But so you could probably figure that out with just like the etymology if you knew things about the language or whatever. But in the Bible, it's going to define it. Notice in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 8, it says, and he shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow and go over, he shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of the wings of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. So we just got, we're talking about Emmanuel, you know, the virgin's going to conceive, his name's going to be called Emmanuel. Verse 9 says, associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. What do you think Emmanuel means, right? Now, in the New Testament, we know for sure that's what it means. I mean, so hindsight's 20/20. When you're looking back, you're just like, well, there it is. Straight up. I mean, O Emmanuel, God is with us, right? But then go to Isaiah 9 and verse 6. I want you to think about it. I mean, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, it says this. It says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So this child that's given unto us, this son that's given unto us, it says is going to be called the Mighty God. And even if you look at verse 7 there, right? Because most people be like, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Yes, Jesus is the Counselor. He's the Mighty God. You can't just leave that out. Now, obviously, I've done a whole sermon to show you what it means by the Everlasting Father. There's another sermon for another day, but it talks about how he's going to be a father unto the nation and going on and so forth as far as what we're dealing with. Everlasting would be because Jesus doesn't have an end. But just like Joseph was a father unto the Egyptians, Isaiah actually defines this. I think it's Isaiah 22. Actually, you know what? Just for sake of time, just since we're hitting on this, just so there's no confusion, let me just show you that. that when we're talking about the everlasting Father, he's going to be called that. He's going to be the everlasting Father, but he's not God the Father. Okay? So, bear with me. This isn't my notes. But let me see if I can find it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I was wondering if it was right before that. Let's look at verse 20. Thanks. I don't know who said that, but thanks. verse 20 there, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne for his father's house." Now, I'll just leave it at that right there. But you're talking about Eliakim, which obviously is a person, but he's picturing, obviously, the true fulfillment of this, which is Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, where you're dealing with the Lord Jesus. And when it's saying that he's going to be the everlasting father, well, it says that he's going to be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to the house of Judah. He's not physically their father, right? But when it says he's going to be the everlasting father, notice that what's the whole premise of Isaiah 9:6? Government, right? The government is going to be upon his shoulder, and all these things have to do with government office. And obviously, being God would be a definition of being a dominion, right? And having authority over it, but everlasting Father is dealing with that. Okay, now, if you even looked at Isaiah 9:7, when it talks about of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Think about what it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 32. It says, "And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." It's the same language that's used there. So to think that Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 isn't talking about the Lord Jesus, you'd have to just be blind. But all these passages go back to the fact that we're talking about he's going to be the mighty God. He's going to be called the mighty God because he is the mighty God. And, you know, there's many ways to prove this, but the idea here is that the virgin birth cannot be separated. You can't believe that Jesus is God without believing that he was born of the Virgin Mary. Okay? And that's why Christmas is so important. Now, I love Christmas. I love the music. I love the atmosphere. I love the season. I love the cookies. I love everything, you know. But honestly, the important thing about Christmas is that Jesus was born of the Virgin, because that means he's God manifest in the flesh. And this is where he came into the world. He became one of us. He was made in likeness of sinful flesh. But it says, "In him is no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And he took on flesh. He was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. And that's what Christmas is about. That's why we celebrate Christmas. And, you know, it's really celebrating that God is with us, that God came down to be one of us and to die for us. And, you know, there's many other verses we can get to, but for sake of time, you know, we'll leave it at that. If you have any questions, you're like, "Hey, what's some other verses?" You know, let me know. You know, those are definitely some good ones that to prove the deity of Jesus. So let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word, and just pray that you be with us throughout the rest of this week. I pray that you give us safety and keep us healthy, Lord, with all the sicknesses going around and just that season. I pray that you keep us healthy. And Lord, we love you, and we pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So Brother A is going to come and sing one more song, and right after this, any men that want to try to sing that song with us, we'll try to do that real quick, okay?
Song 351 in your song books. Song 351, if you would stand, we'll sing "Tell It to Jesus," song 351.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Have you?